Welcome to the Sportscast, March 14th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. And you can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. And if you are listening on Spotify, you could also leave us a review. Visit our website, thesportscast.net, or you can download our app, The Sportscast One. A lot of late breaking news this weekend. Of course, Tom Brady is coming back, and of course, which overshadowed March Madness, to be honest. But yeah, March Madness begins this month. Exciting. The brackets are out. People are filling it out. They're watching shows. They're going on Twitter to figure it out. But today we got a person that has joined us last year, and I asked him to come back again this year because he's very knowledgeable, very talented. Nicholas Hodel, host of the College Bonanza Show and a student at the Cronkite Arizona State University. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me back. Last year was fantastic, and this bracket has just as much intrigue as last year, so I'm really looking forward to this.
Nick, tell us, what have you been up to this past year since we last saw you?
Oh, man, this junior year has been incredibly busy for me. This past fall semester, I worked as an intern with 98.7 Arizona Sports. Mainly did some writing for them, some behind-the-scenes radio stuff as well. That was a tremendous amount of fun. And this spring, I've been working with Arizona PBS Cronkite News as a digital reporter. So that's been a lot of fun getting to cover all kinds of different stuff from NASCAR this past weekend to a big pickleball event that featured Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Phelps way back in January. So I've really covered just about anything and everything that's on offer, really.
Hey, Nicholas Hodel is ready. He's only a junior, and he's starting getting into the pro broadcasting area in sports. Anyways, March Madness 2022, Selection Sunday was yesterday. Nick, before we go into each region, what was your overall thought and how would you compare this year's bracket compared to the other years in the past?
I think there are just the way college basketball has been all year. There's never been one or two clear-cut teams that you can go, these are the top teams compared to everyone else. Some could say upwards of 10. I think there's that is more around like 5, just based on how the bracket has drawn out. But there's been so many teams that have just gone in and out of that top tier this year. It's been incredibly fluid. And what's that created is a bracket that I think can go all kinds of different directions. I was just almost oohing and awing at almost every 8-9, 7-10, 6-11 game. There are a lot of incredible first round games that it's going to eventually create a second weekend, a Final Four that's going to be just incredible to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible as well. No one has ever predicted a perfect bracket. Nick, could this be the year, or once again, someone's going to upset someone?
This is the hardest bracket I've ever grappled with, if I'm being completely honest, with just all the different championship contenders and the different upsets that can happen. Like, this is the hardest one I've had to grapple with in quite some time.
All right. So we're going to go into each region, and Nick is going to tell us his favorite team that might come out of it, and which could be a couple of teams, not just one team, that could make an impact, a dark horse, a spoiler. You know, of course, you could see some low seed teams, which has happened in the past, that upset higher seed teams. So we'll see what happens. Let's go start the music a little bit, get some jamming. Let's go into the West region. Gonzaga, a very familiar player in college basketball. Headlines, they are the number one overall seed in the tournament. And of course, you got the Bulldogs in this region. What are your thoughts over this one, and who do you think is going to come up top?
Yeah, I think Gonzaga is in such a very interesting position. I think they do have a pretty solid draw for themselves to get out of the first weekend. Now, if they play Memphis in the round of 32, who knows? That Memphis team has been incredibly good as of late after a very pathetic start. But after that, I mean, a potential matchup against Arkansas or UConn would be incredibly fascinating to watch. And should they get past that, they're going to have either Duke or Texas Tech Texas Tech's defense is phenomenal, elite. Away from home, I have their worries. But I also have worries about Duke, that at some point, the moment's going to become too big for them in Coach K's final year. I think we've seen that as of late with this Duke team. Coach K's final home game against North Carolina did not go to plan at all. In the ACC tournament, they made it to the final, yes, but they did not look as convincing as at what I would have hoped out of that Duke team getting there. So I do think Duke is going to have some problems at some point within this bracket. I do think Gonzaga comes out of the West, but I think the matchups in the round of 32, the Sweet 16, and the Elite Eight all have potential to get the Zags at some point. Now, going back into some like the darker horses of this particular bracket, the first four contenders here, Rutgers, Notre Dame, I don't think Bama's going to lose there, but Bama's one of those teams that they can lose to anyone, they can beat anyone, so who knows there. Vermont is a team I really liked for the past several weeks. They completely obliterated the American East Conference, and I really like that offense that they built there. And the matchup against Arkansas is one of the intriguing ones. It's one of the unfavorable ones for Vermont, in my opinion, but I really like that Vermont team in general within that particular draw for them there. I'll just say my Sweet 16, Zags and UConn, Texas Tech and Duke. Zags and Texas Tech, if I mentioned that before, then I think Gonzaga will find a way to come out of it.
Let's look at number 10. Davidson has some history in the past. I've been hearing their name coming up this past couple of days. What do you think about them?
Davidson's one of those teams that has played really well in the Atlantic 10. In the A-10, I thought was a little bit weaker than most, but you just figure that one team was going to come out of that conference and put themselves in position to be an at-large. Davidson was that team. Lost the A-10 tournament championship to Richmond. Richmond stole a bid into this field. What I would consider cautionary for Davidson is their defense compared to Michigan State's offense. I would be very cautious, and I would not be surprised to see people picking Davidson. I'm not quite on board with that necessarily. That's if they can control the rebounding pretty darn well. I just don't know if it's going to necessarily happen as effective as a clip as I would like against Michigan State, who can shoot the three pretty well if they're able to get something going for themselves. Davis is not the best team at defending that three. I think the matchup of Davidson's offense is somewhat favorable for them against Michigan State, but I think Davidson's defense is what's going to hold them back. Still a very good 7-10 game. It's not the best 7-10 game out there, but I would say it's a very good game for sure.
And as Nicholas mentioned, Duke, this is Coach K's last dance in the March Madness. Not looking pretty for them. They lost against UNC a couple of days ago. You don't think they can turn things around? You think it's what you see is what you get? They're not going to go all the way.
This team has always had the potential to, but I would not consider them a national championship contender. The flaws have been exposed against North Carolina and in the ACC tournament by all three of the opponents they played against, not just Virginia Tech, who they lost to in the final, but also Miami and Syracuse, and particularly Syracuse, without Buddy Boeheim. The defense just has not been clicking for them as of late, and defenses is what's going to win you championships. I mean, that it's a cliche, right? But it's so true in every aspect.
The formula works, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And I don't see any reason for not just Duke, but for any of the ones, the twos, or even the threes, for that matter. I don't see a reason for any of them to lose their first round games. I think that gap does exist. We'll have a very interesting round of 32, whether it's Michigan State or Davidson. But like I said, I think there will be a point where the moment becomes too big for Duke and his defense. And it's, at some point, it's going to get them. I mean, I think we're starting to see the pressure of it start to get to these young kids. And at some point, it's just going to be too much, I think.
Too much. Nick said it. Gonzaga is favorite in the West region. As he says, let's go into a familiar region, South region. Arizona is the favorite. They're the number one seed. The Wildcats are 31-3 under first-year coach Coach Lloyd. a former Gonzaga assistant. How do you see this region, Nick? And name me some a few of the dark horses we should be eyeing on.
Arizona's a team I've been eyeing on the last several weeks as my preferred national champion. They're obviously, if they're starting point guard, kind of out, they was interested in seeing in the Pac-12 tournament, still win the Pac-12 tournament. I think it proved that, you know, this team may be okay without Kirk Creasa in the fold. Either against Bryce State or Bryant. Yes, Bryant's got the score of Peter Kiss, the best score in the country, but I don't think it's going to matter too much there. A few of the first round games that I like, is there's plenty of them actually within this region. The 7-10 game, you're going to hear me say 7-10 quite a bit, and that's because I think we have three incredible matchups in the 7-10 line. Michigan State Davidson's one, Ohio State Loyola Chicago is the other. And Ohio State, I think, is one of those teams that I am not incredibly sold on too much out of the Big Ten. Loyola Chicago, there was a chance that they had to the Missouri Valley Conference tournament to get to this tournament. Now, based on their seeding, I don't think that's the case. But for Loyola Chicago, I think they're going to have a very favorable matchup against Ohio State's defense. A defense that has allowed the three-point shot at a pretty decent clip. Loyola's offense is very well there, top 20 nationally. Their effective field goal percentage is top 10 in the country, which is one of the things that I would really look at for that Loyola-Chicago team. And Loyola-Chicago's defense is actually pretty well versed. Now, whether or not Ohio State's offense gets it going with some key contributors perhaps coming back, we'll have to see. But that's an upset that I like. Colorado State and Michigan is one they also took under very heavy consideration, the 6-11. And I do think you'll see many people taking Michigan. I have myself. But this is a matchup of two pretty solid offenses versus a couple of just okay defenses. I expect neither of these teams to get past the round of 32 against Tennessee. I think Tennessee will be able to easily take care of Longwood. I was actually a little surprised to see Longwood on the 14th, if I'm being completely honest there. But I think it's just one of those matchups that I looked at first, I'm just like, ooh, this is tough. This is tough to really get a handle on. And I eventually went with Michigan, but that's one I'm not entirely sold on. As is the 5-12 of Houston UAB. Until Houston beat Memphis in the American Athletic Conference Championship on Sunday, it was a team that I thought hadn't been able to prove to themselves that they could beat quality opponents consistently. And while that is completely while that point remains valid, there's a certain point to where this UAB team, it's one I've liked. Now, North Texas, at some point in the regular season, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, before conference tournament time, kind of surpassed UAB within this conference for me. But UAB, one of the better three-point shooting teams in the country. Houston does a good job defending that. But that's a matchup I'll be very curious to see. As is the inside. Houston does a very good job defending shots in the interior as well, allowing only 43.5% inside, 8th best nationally. So that'll be a matchup I find very interesting. And then just how well Houston can operate against UAB, I think that's going to be a critical question. Illinois, for me, to the Sweet 16, I think no matter what. Chattanooga is one of those teams that is the sentimental favorite amongst America after their buzzer beater in the SoCon Championship. But I think Illinois is going to be just a bit too strong for Chattanooga, if I'm just being honest. No reason why Villanova can't get past Delaware or either Ohio State or Loyola Chicago. And then from there, I think it goes chalk. Arizona, Villanova, and what I would consider to be a very tough Elite Eight because tournament experience to some extent matters, and Coach Tommy Lloyd hasn't had that as a head coach. And I think that's going to be fascinating to see what ends up happening of that, because Jay Wright, he's been there. He's done that as a coach of Villanova. But I think the Arizona team, it's been incredibly strong. I think it's the most complete team that we have right now in college basketball. And they'd be my favorites.
There you go. Arizona is a clear favorite, according to Nick Hodel. Let's go into the Midwest. A region that, hey, Kansas, one of the favorites, won the Big 12 Conference Tournament, will join their conference rivaler, Baylor. The Jayhawks have begun against either number 16 Texas Southern or number 16 Texas A&M Corpus Christi before going to the winner of number 8 San Diego State against number 9 Creighton. This Midwest region, I believe, is the weakest I've heard. I don't quote me on that, but what are your thoughts over this region?
It's weird, and it's absolutely right, because every one of the teams that are ranked in the 2, 3, and 4 have a weakness. Auburn away from home is shaky, just flat out shaky. Wisconsin, Johnny Davis has, since he got injured, not exactly looked the best, so I'm not 100% about what they can do. And then Providence. Providence is a team that I'm not going to use, I guess I'll say the term Providence, as some of my other friends here at Crockett would say, but moving away from that, they're really ranked low analytically. And team seated high around the area that Providence is, they do not get out of the first weekend. They just don't. And South Dakota State's offense is just incredible. Now, they could be an analytical bump from taking on the Summit League, which is not as strong. Or you can consider that they have the top 3-point percentage in the country, also the top effective field goal percentage in the country, number 10 from inside the 3-point arc. And they shoot their free throw well. And that speaks volumes. And this Providence defense is not that good for a 4. It just isn't. And Providence, their percentages are not that good. And even though they're ranked 31st in adjusted offensive efficiency, almost every other individual mark would not say the exact same. So in that case, South Dakota State, even though their defense is, let's just say it, atrocious analytically, it's actually not a bad matchup for them when considering the percentages. That's one that I like. And quite frankly, it's one of the only first rounders that I like. People might say Richmond over Iowa. I don't see it. Iowa's in the exact same boat as South Dakota State with an electric offense. I think we'll be able to go to the Sweet 16. And I've seen Iowa in the Final Four pick, but I would actually caution against that, based on what I've seen from Kansas in the Big 12 tournament, the semifinal and the final. It seems like they've gotten Remy Martin, Arizona State transfer, back into the swing of things off the bench. The balance of scoring as Texas Tech in the Big 12 tournament championship was really good. And if that balance holds, they can win this region. I really, really do. Imagine between Auburn and Wisconsin in the Sweet 16 would just be so fascinating to watch, because both these teams have their flaws. And if there's any region, I'm not going to say that actually. And there might be other reasons that go a little more sideways up in the Midwest, but the potential for vulnerability is there. Auburn's got the weakness away from home. Wisconsin without Johnny Davis is going to be fascinating. And Colgate, they're a team that's interesting to say the least. I wouldn't say it's going to happen just based off of Colgate's poor defense and Wisconsin's ability to just prevent turning the ball over, which is elite nationally. But it's just going to be one of those things where Colgate, second best 3-point percentage. You just never know where that's going to go. I do like Kansas against Auburn in the regional final. But if there's any reason, this could go really in all kinds of directions. And that's going to be one that I find very fascinating to see play out.
What about LSU? They made some splashes this past couple of months. What are your thoughts about them?
Well, an interim coach, Will Wade, is out. I think that could play into something. And I think they have, out of the 6-11s, I would say the most favorable. Iowa State has been struggling after an undefeated non-conference season. Their slump is one of those things where even before the bracket is out, I knew I was picking against Iowa State no matter what. And LSU is their opponent. This might be the part of the bracket, LSU, Wisconsin, I might have wrong. I did end up going chalk. But LSU has a potential. Sure, Wisconsin look as shaky as we think they are. just without having Johnny Davis, that they might, LSU might be able to pull this off. And Wisconsin, much in the same way as Providence, is weak analytically for their seed. LSU, they have a very good defense nationally, fifth in adjusted defensive efficiency, and top 15, a bunch of the individual stats in the KenPom profile. LSU can pull this off, but there's just so many unknowns with the Auburns and Wisconsin's and Providence, like I mentioned, that this is just, this could go so many different ways this region.
I have heard Wisconsin could be a dark horse, don't you think?
With a healthy Johnny Davis, yes. And I will be very fascinated to see what he looks like in the first round of this tournament, because he didn't look the best in the Big Ten tournament. And Johnny Davis is the key for Wisconsin. Without Johnny Davis, Wisconsin is nowhere near free. And it's not close. He carried Wisconsin to the point they are right now. And if he isn't as strong as he was in the regular season, they might be in trouble.
There you have it. Nick is confident of the Midwest. Let's go to the East. The last of all, Baylor Bears, number one seed. I see a couple of teams there. Texas, big names. Yale, how about them? What are your thoughts over the East? Who's your favorite? And who do you think can make be a spoiler in this region?
I think North Carolina can be that spoiler at the eight and bust the bracket against Baylor. Armando Baycott's one of the best big men in the country. And Baylor could be in some trouble against him. And, you know, what we said at the top of this, there is no true team that is the bona fide contender. Gonzaga and Baylor were both that last year, Baylor the defending national champs. They might be in trouble here in this bracket, whether it's against North Carolina or further on down the line against Kentucky, who I have as the East Regional World Champ here. Because of Oscar Tshiebwe. If you haven't watched Oscar Tshiebwe this year, he will snatch up any rebound you feed him. He's that freaking good. He's a national player. He's going to be the national player of the year. He's my national player of the year. Elite, prolific, historic rebounder, I would say. But just looking a little bit deeper at this bracket, Virginia Tech is also a team to watch out for. They have played their best basketball at the absolute right time. They went from pretty much being almost off the board entirely on the bubble going into the ACC tournament to ACC tournament champions and playing some of their best basketball that I've seen in a long time. This team's always had the talent to do it, but they finally put it together in the ACC tournament, winning four games in 4 days. They're a much, much, much better version of what Oregon State was last year, when Oregon State shocked everyone on their run last March. Virginia Tech is much better than them. And that's scary. And I have not been sold on Texas. I haven't. The saying here is horns down. And I think that's going to end up happening there with that. I do think that Indiana, should they beat Wyoming, can beat St. Mary's. Not entirely sure on Wyoming, but Indiana has the potential to do it because we're not a big man in Trace Jackson Davis. He is a phenomenal big man, and I would love to see an Indiana-UCLA round of 32 matchup for sure. Now, should North Carolina upset Baylor? I think it paves the path for UCLA to get to the Elite Eight again. You got to remember, UCLA is almost the exact same team as last year. Tournament experience. They know what it takes to get through this grind of a tournament. And where literally anything can happen. So, as far as my Sweet 16, yes, I have North Carolina over Baylor. Not exactly the most confident on that, but Armando Baycott, if he's not kept in check, will cause all kinds of trouble. UCLA, really no matter how the Wyoming-Indiana game goes, should be able to get the job done there. I like Virginia Tech over Purdue. In the round of 32. Again, like I mentioned, they just seem like that team that is just really hot, and Purdue's defense is just, oh God, it's bad. Like for a three seed, it's bad. Barely in the top 100 nationally. The percentage they allow just aren't good. And if Virginia Tech keeps what they did in the ACC tournament, Purdue is in massive trouble against Virginia Tech. Massive trouble. Purdue should have hardly any troubles against Yale, but from there, I can't trust them too much from there. The way I've laid things out initially, UCLA and Kentucky in the Elite Eight, and then Kentucky on the Final Four.
Kentucky Final Four. Okay, so let iron this out a bit. You pick Kentucky in the East. Am I correct? Yes. So your Final Four, name them all. West, South, Midwest, and East.
Gonzaga out of the West, Arizona out of the South, Kansas out of the Midwest, and Kentucky out of the East.
And Kansas from the Midwest, right?
Yes.
Okay, national championship. Who will it be?
I like Arizona a bit more over Kansas. I just think that team has just been very much more complete. And after getting a chance to watch them in person a couple of times in both the meets against Arizona State, they can turn on in a hurry, and there's really no stopping it if you're not careful. And that even goes for a team like Arizona State, who turned on defensively and had that defensive pedigree. I like Kentucky over Gonzaga. The matchup of Oscar Tshiebwe and Chet Holmgren is going to be a blockbuster matchup. It would be whatever you got to do to find whatever channel TBS is for you, or whatever cable provider you have. That'll be fun. Tshiebwe has more of the physical build. And even though Chet Holmgren is just so good inside at finding his way inside, I worry for him with his toothpick-like frame, I guess you could say. Tshiebwe is just built so much more physical and strong that I think Holmgren might have some trouble against Tshiebwe. And if that's the case, that's the key matchup there. I like Kentucky going into the championship.
Kentucky versus Arizona.
Yeah, I think that ends up being the case. And I just think Arizona is the more complete team against Kentucky. Both of these teams have the guard play to make it happen. Both of them have the strong, smart, physical big men to make it happen. But as a complete unit, I like Arizona a bit more than Kentucky to win the national championship.
Not because you're from Arizona, right?
No, not at all. And quite frankly, like with Arizona being ASU's rival, like, it's one of those things where it's like, I shouldn't, like, the ASU heart of me is just like, what are you doing picking your arch rival? But in all reality, that Arizona team is just incredibly good. And even when they struggle, they can find a way to win games.
There you have it. Nick Les-Hodel calls it Arizona Pac-12. Going to win it this year. March Madness begins tomorrow for the first four. Texas A&M versus Texas Southern. And Indiana versus Wyoming. So who do you think will win those two games?
I'm favoring Texas Southern there, though quite frankly, you're really just getting fed to Kansas at that point. And like I said earlier, with Indiana, Wyoming, I think Indiana can play better than Wyoming in that matchup. And if that's the case, I would also like them against St. Mary's.
Indiana, never seen them in that level of basketball in that schedule, but hey, you know, sometimes you do some rebuilding, might take a few years.
And just to go off of Indiana a little bit, I like what Coach Mike Woodson's done. He set the culture when I think it was like four or five of his players were missed the Northwestern game due to team suspension. Like, he laid down the culture and said, we ain't gonna accept any of this. And what Indiana did, they basically had to win two games in the Big Ten tournament to get to the NCAAs, and they did that. And it just seems like they can come back from bad deficits as they did against Michigan. They can find their way well against Illinois. And they found a way to play their best basketball at the right time in the Big Ten tournament.
There you have it. March Madness officially begins tomorrow, goes through the weekend, and we'll see some rising basketball stars. This is a part of the whole country comes together. Let's just put it that way. Fill out the brackets. You go ESPN, CBS, whatever is your favorite. Nick, what is your favorite bracket predictor platform?
They're all, you know, they all have their strengths and weaknesses. For the college basketball fans, we used CBS for our pool last year. We have done so again, which for those who are watching, you can follow us at College Bonanza. We have a link to our bracket pool. You can hop on in, and we would love to have you there compete against us. And we may even see some other Blaze Radio personalities within that group as well. So that'll be a quite the fun time. Also have plenty of content round by round of the NCAA tournament as well on your preferred podcast platform by searching College Basketball Bonanza. But yeah, I mean, it's the best time of year. I mean,
best time of year. And but there will be no Oral Roberts type of move this year, right?
No, I don't. I think the two seats are pretty strong here within their particular matchups. You know, who knows what kind of motivation Jacksonville State may have with a second chance, really, after the A-Sun. Bowman won the A-Sun tournament, but transitional rules kept them out. So Jacksonville State, the regular season champion, goes in at that point. St. Peter's has a good defense, but I still don't think they're any match for Kentucky. I just don't like Fullerton against Duke whatsoever. Kind of the same thing for Delaware against Villanova. And it's all the kind of the same thing for the 14th as well. I don't like a particular 14 out of that group. I really don't.
Hey, there you have it. Nicholas Hodel, one more time, what is the best way to reach you online personally and also your platforms on the Bonanza, College Bonanza, and all that jazz?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, you can search College Bass Bonanza on your preferred podcast platforms. We did put out an episode last night, last night on Blaze Radio late night, and we put that up. So you can catch up on that. We did it was probably our best show of the entire year. So you can check that out on your preferred podcast platform. Again, Twitter at College Bonanza. We're gonna be tweeting along as the games go on and try to get some other content out as well. Myself at Hodel Sports. I'll obviously be tweeting about college basketball a lot, but of course I'll be tweeting out all my reporting adventures as time goes on as well. So at Hodel Sports for me, at College Basketball Bonanza for the show. Couple great places to get your college basketball fix over the next several weeks.
And this is the time of year for Nick Hodel to shine, and we'll definitely have you back on in future episodes and possibly the big show for college basketball and see how things are going. You can reach us at thesportscast.net. And of course, the Sportscast One will be tweeting along as well. And also posting some podcasts and some articles out there to keep this March Madness alive. Anyways, I'm excited. I'm pumped. Nick, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Yeah, thank you so much again for having me. I appreciate any time to talk about college basketball, and this certainly was a blast.
Exactly. The splash begins.